Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Does it say 38? And on the board is Sri Vishnu Dutta or Sri Shuko? Vishnu. Sri Vishnu Dutta Uvach Uchu Yuyam Vai Parama Rajasya Yadi Nirdesha Harina Bruta Paramasya Nas Tatvam Yach Chadharamasya Lakshanam Shri Vishnu Dutta Uchu Yuyam Vai Dharma Rajasya Yari Nirdesha Karina Bruta Dharamasya Nastatvam Yascha Dharamasya Lakshanam Shri Vishnu Dutta Uchu Yuyam Vai Dharma Rajasya Yari Nirdesha Karina Bruta Dharamasya Nastatvam Yascha Dharamasya Lakshanam Vishnu Dutta Uchu. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu spoke. Yuyam, all of you, Vai.
Vai.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Dharmarajasya.
Dharmarajasya.
Of King Yamaraj.
King Yamaraj.
Who knows the religious principles.
Who knows the religious principles.
Yadi.
Yadi.
If. Nirdesha Karina,
Nirdesha Karina,
order carriers, Bruta, just speak, Dharmasya,
of religious principles,
na,
unto us,
Tatvam, the truth,
Yat,
that which,
Cha,
also,
Adharmasya,
of impious activities.
Lakshanam,
symptoms. Translation. Sukadev Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudeva smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Purport. The Yamadutas were surprised to see that the Vishnudutas, although polite, were hindering the rule of Yamaraj. Similarly, the Vishnudutas were also surprised that the Yamadutas, although claiming to be servants of Yamaraj, the supreme judge of religious principles, were unaware of the principles of religious action. Thus the Vishnudutas smiled, thinking, "What is this nonsense they are speaking? They are actually servants of Yamaraj. They should know that Ajamil is not a suitable candidate for them to carry off." Text 38. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnudutas, said, "If you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion." Purport. This inquiry by the Vishnudutas to the Yamadutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraj claim to be carrying out his orders, and therefore the Vishnudutas very intelligently ask them to explain the symptoms of religious and irreligious principles. A Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly well because he is acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord said, "Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam praja." Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Therefore, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. Those who have surrendered to the principles of material nature instead of to Krishna are all impious, regardless of their material position. Unaware of the principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered sinful rascals, the lowest of men, and fools bereft of all knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhama mayaya paritya jnana asuram bhavamashita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. One who has not surrendered to Krishna does not know the true principle of religion. Otherwise, he would have surrendered. The question posed by the Vishnudutas was very suitable. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. So the Yamadutas are pious people. But that piety has come from material piety, not from devotional piety, because they're connected to Yamaraj. So they're there because they did all their works properly. They did what they were supposed to do. So now, according to them, according to the principles of Karmakanda, Yamaraj is sinful because he's not performing the duties recommended in the scriptures under Karmakanda. And they're taking that as the ultimate form of religion. Yes, it is. If you're a materialist, then this is religion. Right? Every position has a religion. Right? Just like a cow is supposed to eat grass, give milk. That's their religion. Right? So they cannot understand the transcendental position, the actual religion. So that's why the Vishnu Dutas are surprised, because they actually can't tell who is sinful and who is not. They're only going by the karmakandic rules of that you perform a particular activity, you get a particular material result. So unless you perform pious works, you don't get a good material result. Therefore, he's impious. They're not catching that he's chanting the holy name of the Lord. His son's Narayan, so we focus on the last Narayan that he calls out before he dies. But Narayan's 2 years old, so he's been chanting Narayan for 2 years now. Right? So, and he's his, you know, favorite of his children, because he's naturally, he's the youngest. You always have to be interacting with the children, right? The bigger ones, they have other things to do, but the small ones, you always have to be with them. So that means you're constantly saying the name. Right? So he's purified. But if we're looking at it from the principle of what he's doing on the material platform, yes, he's sinful. But if we're looking at it, what he's doing in the overall, he's chanting the Lord's name. He's purified. So the purification of the Lord's holy name and the purification of karmakanda is vastly different. You have to do so much perfectness to get benefit in karmakanda. But in the devotional practice, a minimal amount works. Right? The example is given of the rock candy with jaundice. The difficulty, yes, so when someone has jaundice, then the only cure is rock candy. And so, but when you eat it, it tastes bitter. So now, is the rock candy bitter? Can we say it's bitter? He takes some, he takes his first mouthful. Is he cured? Why not? Right? Because it takes time. Right? It takes time to change the conditioning. Right? So now, when the living entity is in touch with the Lord's holy name, the holy name is like this rock candy. It's always sweet. It's perfect. We really have to get beyond this thing of that when we're talking about Shuddhanam or Namabhas, that it's actually a title for the name. Those are titles for how we see the name. Not the name itself. The names are always pure. How is Krishna going to be a shadow? He's always pure. It's us who sees him in this way. You understand? Just let's say you have a policeman, right, in his uniform walking down the street. He's walking down a respectable neighborhood. How do the people of the neighborhood see him? Right? They see him as, you know, a very important part of their community. He maintains the justice. They may be saying hello to him. They'll be very polite and nice. What if the same policeman walks down a neighborhood that isn't so socially acceptable? They're going to see him in a bad light. He's the one that gives them trouble. Why? Because they're making trouble. You understand? Therefore, the names are according to the person who's calling them, not according to the Lord himself. Right? That's what's important here. Why is this here in Bhagavatam? Right? This is a shastra for devotees. It's a shastra for paramahamsas. And we see this is the first chapter of the sixth canto, which means we're halfway through Bhagavatam. Now this is introduced. Why? Because now by the sixth canto, we should be comfortable with the idea that transcendence is beyond material. It's beyond karma. It's beyond what we do. That's what's important. Because if we introduced this earlier, we wouldn't catch it. So we have to introduce everything else. Now at this point, we can introduce. Right? It's scientific. So Now we understand that the name being transcendental, if you're involved with the name, then you're actually performing religious principles. Now, how good you are at religious principles, right? First time the child gets on the bicycle, they're greatly enthusiastic. Are they skilled, right? First time he gets on the bicycle, you know, and wobbles for about a few feet and then bumps into the fence or car or something else and falls over, you know, from the other side of the street, is the Olympic scout going to say, "That's our man"? Right? Probably not. Right? But the point is this is the path how he's going to learn to ride. It's that simple. So we have to get beyond this thing that devotional life is fully dependent upon us. I did this, therefore I advance. He did that, he can't advance. No, it's you do something that pleases Krishna, that's when you advance, and you don't do something to please Krishna, you don't advance. If it's a matter of how well you do something, the smartest would all be pure devotees. You go to a smartest house, they do everything perfect. I'm not joking, this is not an exaggeration. There's millions of them, they're doing everything perfect. But they're not devotees, why not? Because their intent's not to please Krishna. So if the intent is good, you're getting the benefit, it's positive. Right? Naturally, since it's to please Krishna, you try to improve the quality of what you're doing. That's the sincerity. You're trying to make it better for Krishna. Krishna is then pleased, you advance. So this real dharma is then more subtle, more difficult to understand. And but the straightforward, the mundane dharma is pretty simple. You do this, you get this. You do that, you get that. Right? That's generally how it works. So the Vishnudutas we see here, is they're making the point that since they are the authorized servants of Yamaraj, they should have known by the message, understanding the message of their authority, what is actual dharma. But the weakness is they're only with Yamaraj not because of pure devotion, but because of karmakanda. Right? And because of that, they are totally unaware that there is such a thing as devotion, that there is bhakti. They just don't know. So therefore, they're behaving nicely, but they're quite strong, because in their mind, they're doing their duty. The perfection of life is to perform your duty. Why is somebody messing with my duty? But what they're missing is what they're doing is not their duty. They're not meant to pick up people who are chanting the Lord's names. That's not their job. So technically, they're not doing their duty. So therefore, the Vishnudutas are asking them these points. So you see, this is all going very nicely. It's not that, you know, I'm authorized to do this, so out of my way. No. They're saying, okay, by the dress and behavior, the demure, all this, these people are cultured. So why are they stopping us from doing our duty? Because cultured people don't do that. And the Vishnudutas are working on the principle, here's the servants of Yamaraj, who is the Lord of Dharma, why don't they know Dharma? But you see the conversation is going very nicely. Right? So this is the way to do, because the principle of the Vedic culture is knowledge, how to be elevated. So the Vishnudutas are in a superior position, therefore it's okay, so you're saying you're doing your duty. What is duty? What is pious? What is impious? How do you define all this? Then understanding that, then we can move forward, because then we'll see is that they don't understand, and that'll be pointed out by the Vishnudutas. Then they'll go back to their teacher, and then ask, okay, so what am I missing here? And then he'll explain it, then they'll know. So as Prabhupada points out, is then therefore, especially the preachers, but anybody should know what is the mission. Because the mission is the principle on which something's based. Everything has to go back to principles. If it doesn't go back to principles, then you haven't gotten out of the modes of passion and ignorance. Principles come from goodness, right? Does that make sense? We say determination, focus, enthusiasm, So is that passion or ignorance? No, that's goodness. So if what we're doing is not based on these principles, you're working in the mode of passion or ignorance. It's that simple. It's just math. You know, this is not sentiment. This is not, you know, our opinion. You know, all these nice, you don't want to say, not rhetorical, because that's the question, but concerning rhetoric, just on how to argue things. Right. So the point is goodness means that there's a basis in goodness. Then you make your plans and execute those plans based on that. So now, here they know the mundane level of goodness. But unfortunately, they don't know pure goodness. So they're taking their specific duties as the all-in-all. They don't see that there's something bigger that Yamaraj is doing. Yamaraj is dealing with the universe, because the universe is supposed to be becoming God-conscious. Those who are, he doesn't deal with, because that's what they're supposed to be doing. So he actually, Yamaraj only deals with people who are not doing what they're supposed to do. So that means they're either materially pious or impious. He deals with those ones. So just being pious is not the point. Yamaraj will still deal with you nicely, but he still deals. So in the mission, then it's what does Lord Chaitanya want? What does Krishna want? Why did Krishna even make the material creation? Why does he even bother to come here? It's because he wants the living entities to come back to the spiritual world. Right? Because the interaction of the living entities with the Lord, that rasa, is so nice, Krishna wants to expand it. And so those living entities that come here, they're given the opportunity to take that up. This is the mission. So Lord Chaitanya comes and shows how we would do it in this age, through the chanting of the holy name. Then that's given specifically to us so we can understand this by Rupa Goswami. And it comes down to the acharyas. Right? And then according to time, place, and circumstance, then to organize the mission, you create institutions. And these institutions, they then are the vehicle in which you try to accomplish the mission. But you have to know what it's all about. Otherwise, then like Prabhupada says, then in preaching you might be embarrassed. So to avoid that, not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. So one should know what one's doing. One should know why you're here. Right? What's going on? That it's something greater. We're talking about something cosmic here. The mission starts with Krishna. Right? Then it's affected by Balaram. He expands into Mahavishnu, who then expands the Mahatattva. Then the universes, enters the universes, pervades the universes, creates the primary creation, empowers Brahma who makes the secondary, and then, like this, then the parampara comes down. So the mission goes all the way back. It's not just something here in some corner that there's some old man that decided, hey, let's go check out New York. You know, I got 40 rupees, you know, hey, let's paint the town red here, you know. So, you understand? There's something greater going on here. We have to understand this is how the universe works. We may see it in another perspective, but like the man with jaundice thinking that the mystery or the rock candy is bitter, that really doesn't matter. You think it's bitter? So what? Keep taking it. You know? It's not, oh, it's bitter, it's not nice, why should I take it? Yeah, it is bitter, take it. That's just how it works. Does this make sense? So in other words, there is an absolute standard and we must adjust our life with it. We have to get over, you know, the 2,500 years of history where we can't adjust with this. Right? Western culture is based on the principle that they cannot adjust as an absolute standard. That is the basis of the Western culture, philosophy, education, knowledge, science, economics, go on increasing the list. It's all based on this one fact, that there's no absolute standard, that whatever we decide as a group, now that's reality. We have to get over this. It's conditioning. It's not important. We accept there's an absolute standard. If we don't understand it, it's like the rock candy. Keep taking it until it becomes, you do understand it. That's just the way it is. So therefore, the Vishnudutas here are then asking, okay, you say, why are we stopping your religious duties? So you explain religion. Then we'll find out if we're actually stopping your religious duties. Is there any questions or comments? Yes. Yes.
Sometimes devotees do a lot of service and they don't feel that they're advancing, and sometimes you do something a little bit and you feel a lot of joy. So how do you understand, how one can understand if he's advancing? And also, like pure devotees, they say, I'm the most fallen. So they kind of, they don't think that they're advancing. So just maybe you could explain more about this, how to understand if you're going to right direction.
What do you mean by right direction?
I mean, how to understand that you're really advancing.
But what's the point of real advancing?
Well, the point is that if you do something that pleases Krishna, you're advancing. So you want to know if you what you do, does it please Krishna?
No, that's there. But why do you want to know this? Why is it important to know whether you're advancing or not?
It's not important.
You understand? You know, is it a social prestige? Is it, you know, I mean, you know, it's like in schools you get a gold star, you know. You understand? So you have to understand, why is it important? It's only important because it pleases Krishna. Other than that, what's the point? You know, it's not like Mother just showed us, sits around and thinks, yeah, okay, finally, now we're a little advanced here, right? You know? Does that make sense? So, the acharyas point out that one should contemplate if one's advancing, but that's under, and they say this, how the symptoms that you use are knowledge and detachment. Because how do you know something? You know it by its symptoms. Right? It's like, let's say someone's happy. Can you see the joy in their heart? Or do you see the smile on their face? Right? You see the secondary attributes. So knowledge and detachment are secondary attributes of bhakti. Because how are you going to see the bhakti? Bhakti is an attitude. It's a consciousness. Does that make sense? So everything is seen and appreciated by the secondary aspects. But that doesn't make them more important than the primary. Right? That's just, you know, it's just like, if what's more important, the fever or the thermometer? Right? The thermometer is registering high, so now do we focus on the thermometer, how to cool the thermometer down, and, you know, stuff like that? No, we focus on the fever. You understand? So in the same way as the bhakti, you're not going to be able to see, but you can see the secondary. So, do we know more about Krishna? Is that important to us? Are we becoming more detached from the things that have always been important to us? But then we have to be able to look at it in a proper perspective, right? It's not, we shouldn't be using it as a devotional way to become insecure and get taste from that. You know what I'm saying? In the material world, okay, I'm not up to fashion, I don't have any friends, I don't have money, I don't have... You know, there's all kinds of symptoms that people use to see if you're successful. And if you don't have it, then you can sit around and feel bad about yourself. And, you know, that's how the ice cream industry prospers. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like that. And then you have something to talk to your friends about, and because they're in the same position, then you can all wallow in your own misery, right? So, you don't want to do that in Krishna consciousness. It's not a mundane thing. It's a matter of what was important before, is that important anymore? We may say, I have so many attachments, but do we have the ones that we had before? So if they're gone, means we're advancing. Right? And so what we're aware of now is what's more subtle. Right? Does that make sense? You know, just like someone who has no knowledge, they walk into a situation that requires skill, they won't see anything. But someone who has training, they'll walk into a situation, they'll see so many things. So what does that mean? As you advance, you'll see more. If the idea is to completely get rid of all material desire in the heart, that you're seeing material desire in the heart, that's a good thing. Because the materialist, does he see that I've got lust, anger, and greed, and envy, and attachment in my heart? You know what I'm saying? You know, you go down to, you know, the business district, and the guy in his suit and his briefcase, and you go up to him and say, my dear sir, so how do you view your, you know, internal feelings of lust, anger, greed, envy, attachment, illusion, and madness? And he'll just look at you and go, and then walk. Right? Okay, so then, that's the whole point. Devotees are seeing, but it's not a matter of getting overwhelmed, that's just what you have to work with. Like, you know, if Monday morning the pot washer walks into the, you know, temple kitchen and sees a huge pile of pots, and I mean every square inch of the, you know, including the ceiling, is dirty. So should he get, you know, oh, this is, how can I do? No, this is just what he does. You start washing, and at least by next Sunday it'll be clean again. You know, until the next batch of cooks enthusiastically come in. Right? Does that make sense? It's just, you work at it, it gets clean. You know, the garbage is there. You don't sit and lament there's so much garbage. You just take it out. Does that make sense? Right. Is that okay? Yeah. Anyway. Yes. This funny thingy.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Inspiring. About holy name, I wanted to ask, you mentioned what holy names reveals to us from, it's very, very good for me, you remember. Then I wanted to ask how to do this consciousness shift from, like you said, for me, for example, it's like duty, how to make consciousness shift, like to see holy name different, like want to do it, not like
different,
duty, but...
What do you mean by different?
For me, at this level, it's now like duty, I have to do this, but how to make consciousness
duty. So, duty is bad?
No, it's not okay, like
it means
bad.
Coming from your background, was duty an important element? When you grew up, were you, that your family, your community, nation instilled in you that sense of duty, you know, was that there? That was the most important thing for you? Or was kind of having a good time more prominent?
Maybe having a good time.
Okay, so therefore, if you have this concept of duty, that's good. That's moving forward. It's moving up from passion, ignorance to goodness. So you just have to keep at it. And then, you understand, because anishta means it's unstable. Duty means it's stable. So it's only anishta bhakti that it becomes dynamic. There's always advancement, but that's where it becomes quite dynamic. So then, if you're stable at it, despite whatever's going on, then what happens next is taste. And once there's a taste, then you're very enthusiastic. Like, why does kids like to play? Is it like a sense of duty? You know, to get out of bed, oh no, I'm still only 8 years old, you know. I was like, God, I got to go out and play, you know. It's like that, you know. When am I going to be, you know, bigger, when I can have some duties and, you know, do something solid with my life, you know? You know? Does that make sense, you know? It's like that. You know, if you came in the morning for breakfast and, you know, the mom says, oh, what are you going to do today? Well, I thought I would do my homework, you know, and, you know, do some special studies and, you know, write some essays. I was going to join some extra courses. Hey, can I get a tutor, Mom? You know, the mom would probably, you know, first of all, drop the bowl of, you know, cereal on the floor and stand there for a minute, you know, or think for a minute,
did the kids get mixed up in the, you know, in the hospital or, you know, or, you know, something, right? No, she's expecting, oh, we're going to go out and play with my friends or this or that, you know, right? No? So, then, if one has a sense of duty, that's good. So don't worry about that. Now, worry about being stable, being steady, focusing on the name, hearing the name. And why? Why do you want to hear the name? What's the point? When you say move beyond just the sense of duty, what are you looking for?
It's just enjoyment.
Enjoyment, okay. But the point is enjoying what? What are you going to enjoy?
But duty is not more here.
The duty is no more here.
Free to play like.
Play like, okay. Mother Yashoda, every day she arranges Krishna's breakfast. Is it a problem? Does she get a taste from that? You kind of can project that most likely she does, right? Because it's hard to do something eternally unless you like it, right? Right? Okay. But, so now is this taste just about you? You understand? That's the problem we're looking for. We sit down in the, you know, the what do you call it, the, what do we call these things? Before we used to just say when we had free time, we sat down and did bhajans and kirtan, but now they have a special name for it. Kirtan Mela. Yes. Yeah, so Kirtan Mela, then we go to it because we think, now this is going to be good. I'm going to sit, I'm going to hear the name, I'm going to be in good association, and we try to get some feeling from that. Right? But the point is that feeling. So is it just about us? This is the problem. If it's just about us, it's going to be irregular. Because are we producing this? Are we producing the happiness of the holy name? Right? Right? Is that what Krishna says in the Gita? You know, how you say, everything's strung on you like pearls are strung on a thread. Right? Does that make sense? So who's the center? It's Krishna. It's the name. So if you just want to get happiness from the name, that's good, because at least you're turning to Krishna for happiness, because he is the source of happiness. He is Ananda, right? He's unlimited Ananda. We're a speck of Ananda. So definitely a speck can get the Ananda they're looking for from unlimited. So that's smart. But then how much Ananda you'll get? You're one speck. So that means you're there, Krishna's there, and you get your speck of Ananda. Right? Not a lot. 1/10,000th the tip of the hair of Ananda. Does that make sense? Now you connect to Krishna who's unlimited. That means that unlimited Ananda then is able to be experienced. But connecting to Krishna means what? Is there some ritual? It's karma? It's some knowledge? It's jnana? Or it's bhakti? So it's personal. Does that make sense? That personal connection that the name is Krishna and I'm his devotee, and one wants to be absorbed in the association with Krishna. That sense of duty, then you stay, that will give taste, because then it pleases Krishna. Why? Because you're recognizing him as a person. Right? Does that make sense? Because seeing him as a person, that's actually where you begin to get something serious. The other things, they give something. But if it was so great, why did the four Kumaras switch from that sense of Brahman understanding or Vasudeva Sattva into bhakti? Right? Because it's so much greater. You understand? So sense of duty is fine, but then its sense of duty is that, well, I'm working, where's the results? Rather than sense of duty is, I'm a servant, Krishna's the master, I chant his name, this is the way we can reciprocate in this age. And so therefore, then this is what I want to do. It's a different kind of sense of duty. Because the other one, it's difficult because there's the element of passion and ignorance. Right? Because I'm the enjoyer. I'm going to enjoy chanting this holy name. You will, but, you know, that's not the point. And it's by my endeavor, that's why I'm getting this happiness. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, I was just wondering, in relation to this point you're making now, why sometimes, specifically, easiest example I can think of off the top of my head, but different points and different times, it seems that the acharyas encourage, or even themselves, compose prayers. Specifically, I'm thinking of the song we sing in the morning, where it says, Aha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi. And in the translation, it's that, you know, oh Lord Nityananda, you're so happy in prema, so please also make me happy. So you said like it's a good thing to have that understanding, but it's obviously it's not the highest. So if that's the case, why is it that our acharyas seem to promote this idea?
It just is not a major consequence, but you grew up in which area of the world?
USA.
Okay. Just you have to know the social context. Okay, so so let us say, I say the word bad. What does it mean? Unpleasant. What if my pants were about to fall off, I had tattoos, right? And I said bad. What does that mean? Yeah, and the top of my underwear that you can see does not say Dolce Gabbana.
It's relishing something that's unpleasant.
Well, I mean, the relishing part's there, but it's not necessarily that it has to be unpleasant. We might take it as unpleasant, but they'll take it that this is good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, the pigs, right? They've learned in the hellish planets to appreciate.
Yeah, so the point is this perspective.
Yeah.
Right? That's the point. Okay, so now we're taking from our perspective the words that we're saying and interpreting them in this way. But are those, what other words are you supposed to use? Right? Words are used as a medium. You understand? So the point is in here, is it a matter of, what does that mean, make me happy? Why is Nityananda Prabhu happy?
Krishna Prema. That's what.
And what does Krishna Prema mean?
It means you love Krishna.
And loving Krishna means what?
It means you serve Krishna.
And who is this Krishna?
It's God.
That's where we start to, where the paths split here. Is it that Nityananda Prabhu is so absorbed in Lord Chaitanya because he's God? If he wasn't God, he'd be looking around somewhere else, right? Is that why?
No, that's not why.
The why?
Because he's the most beautiful person, the most attractive person.
Okay, so now Lord Nityananda Prabhu is absorbed in the happiness of serving Krishna as a person. We want to be part of that. Now do you have a problem with those words?
I like that. Yeah, thank you.
You understand?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing, is that on the first position, we'll just see how it is that I see the world from my view of, you know, me being the center. If I connect it to Krishna, it's progressive, because Krishna is actually the source of everything. So whatever I'm looking for and whoever I think I am, that's all coming from Krishna. So just connecting that, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, sinful, not sinful, I connect it, then it's progressive. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes sense.
Okay.
Theoretically, it makes sense.
Yes, okay. At least that's what we, in this day and age, theory is quite popular, so it's good, right? So now as we go, as we start to learn that Krishna is a person, why is it every basically couple of sentences it says the supreme personality of Godhead? They could just say God, The Prabhupada only uses the term God when he's basically dealing with those who might be, who don't know he's a person, maybe atheistic, maybe agnostic, like this. Then he uses the term God. But he always uses the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So personality is there, and Supreme Personality is a Krishna. Right? But we don't catch that, because we know everybody's a person, but it's just that it means there's a difference. There is the inanimate, which are objects to give myself sense gratification that don't move about, don't think, and are easier to deal with. Then there's the animate objects for my sense gratification that move around and sometimes don't agree because they seem to have different opinions. Which is strange, because being the center of the universe, why should that happen, right? You understand? So when we say someone's a person, we recognize that they, you know, they individually move around and stuff like that. But that they're a person means that they themselves have a perspective and desires and needs and all these things. That doesn't come out. That we have to be trained at, because the Western culture is not the one to do it. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Therefore, we have to get used to this. That's why I'm saying this point's being introduced halfway through the Bhagavatam. Because by six cantos, hopefully five cantos now, we've hopefully learned that, you know, that the personal element is the most important. We're starting to adjust to it. It's not so much, it's an accepted theory. We're trying to apply it. You understand? So words that are used, they carry all these levels, and the acharyas are so expert at that the newest person can get their level of realization from it, and the most advanced can get it. We think advanced means you change the words. No, you change your understanding of the words. Does that make sense? Right? We're too trained in externals, that externals are everything. No, externals are only symptoms of what's internal. So as we we develop in sophistication, so we understand the externals more properly, so we start to adjust them for Krishna, right? I may be sinful, I try to make my life less sinful because I want to please Krishna, right? But it's not about the sinful or not sinful, because the real point is about connecting to Krishna. But I'm connecting to Krishna because in the beginning, because he's God and I'm not, and so therefore, you know, and I'm open to the concept that I'm not God, it's he is, right? And so then we move with that, but with time, and so then, okay, I didn't get happiness from material energy, I can get happiness from material energy if I connect it to God. But ultimately it's gotta be God's what's important. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It's talked about, you know, as the very romantic ideas in literature and poetry and other things like that. Occasionally you see it come up. It's not as popular these days, but you understand? But this is the basis of human existence, is the personal dealing. Is that okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, so we'll end here. Grantra Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. Yeah.